You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
All right. If everybody could have their seats, I'm just going to take 30 seconds and let everybody grab a seat, and we're going to get started right away here. As Pastor Bill said, no announcements today to make maximum room for what we're doing today. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Generosity Sunday. This has to be our, if not the favorite Sunday of the year, one of our most favorite Sundays of the whole year. Just so excited about the joyful time that we have ahead of us today. And before we get to introducing our ministry partners and letting you hear from some of them, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes, literally just 5 minutes, to talk from the scriptures about why generosity is so important for us as Christians. So you're about to witness a small miracle here, a pastor talking for only about 5 minutes. And our text today is probably the most popular verse in the entire canon. John 3:16 is known worldwide by many people who are not Christians. You see it at football games. It's kind of all over. And I actually think it doesn't get used in the church enough, probably because we're afraid of it being overused, right? But I think it's impossible to overuse John 3:16. It's one of the most beautiful one-verse declaration of the gospel that we have in the scriptures, and it certainly speaks to us today on Generosity Sunday. So let's go ahead and read John chapter 3, verse 16, these beautiful, familiar words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the 4th century, the Roman Emperor Julian was writing a letter to one of his friends, and in the letter, he was regretting the progress of Christianity because it was pulling people away from the Roman gods. And he said this to his friend in the letter. He said, "Atheism," which is what early Christianity was called. They didn't know what to call it, but they didn't believe in the Roman gods, so they called them atheists. He said, "Atheism has been specially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans," another term for Christians, "care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them." You see, friends, from the very beginning of Christianity, generosity has been one of the chief markers of its people. As you could hear from the emperor's letter here, the early Christians gave at eye-popping levels. And not just to those of their own family and faith community, but they gave even to their enemies, to their captors. Now you might ask, what would make a people do this? What would make a whole group of human beings who are normally selfish, right? By nature, we're pretty selfish and pretty geared towards amassing things for ourselves and taking care of those close around us. What all of a sudden makes a group of people decide that they want to be generous and want to give of their time, talents, and resources? It's a good question for us to ask today. What could do that to an entire group of people so much so that even the emperor of Rome took notice and became annoyed with it as he was trying to persecute them? Well, I think the answer lies in our famous text today here in John 3:16. See, because Christians are not people who subscribe to a set of beliefs and then live out those beliefs in their own strength through their own righteousness. They don't say, okay, I want God to love me and accept me in the end, and so I'm going to start giving in order to make myself better. It's not what Christians do. There are several religions like that that have generosity or almsgiving as a part of their religion, and certainly that does produce a level of generosity. But that's not Christian generosity. It's not what we're talking about today. No, Christians, instead, are people who are transformed and filled by a God who is freakishly generous, just wildly generous. They become the dwelling place for this God who has shown himself over and over and over through Scripture to be a radical giver. And that's what empowers them to live this way, in a way that gets them noticed by the Emperor of Rome himself. So I want to just pause to think about this generous God for just a minute here today, who fills us as his people. Our text said that God so loved the world that he gave. And if we believe the scriptures, this wasn't a world that loved him and honored him in return. No, God loved the world while the world hated him. God loved the world while we were enemies of him. I think we can all imagine being generous with our closest friends and family. This time of year, I just love the energy around giving, and I love watching people get joy from giving, and that's exciting and fun. But imagine bestowing some of your richest blessings on an enemy. Imagine what that would feel like. It's a different story, isn't it? This is what God did. He loved us so much, even while we were enemies, that he gave. And he didn't just give something trite. He gave the unthinkable. He gave the unimaginable. He gave his own son. And his son, in turn, gave his own life. So that you and I and anyone who believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life with God where they've always belonged. It's incredible. It's unthinkable. It's outrageous generosity. It's stunning generosity. And here's where this becomes so important for you and I as followers of Jesus. When we give, and this is what's been so important throughout the history of the church as well, when we give, not just to those people who think like us or believe like us or act like us or even those people that say nice things about us, when we give even to our enemies, we begin to show the world a glimpse of what our generous God is like. We begin to put him on display for everyone to see. Friends, generosity is not something that Christians do. It is a part of who we are. It's a part of who we are because we are filled with a God who is a radical giver. My prayer for us today on Generosity Sunday is that we would show the world who he is by our crazy generosity. Amen? Now, if you're here today and maybe this message is new to you about God loving the world so much that he would give his own son, we don't want to miss an opportunity to invite you to faith in Jesus. So we're going to have a prayer team up here after the whole service is over. You can come up and talk to them. They will be happy to explain to you what it means to live a life following Jesus as you come into receiving his love and the gift that he's given us in Jesus. But for right now, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bill, and he's going to begin to introduce to us our ministry partners.
Great. This is like, it is my favorite day of the year. Like, this is my, I look forward to this day all year long. Like, I don't have a day that I like any better. I don't, and I know that we have had times where God has done some amazing things in our hearts, and he's transformed us, and he's shifted us to new and greater places and depths in him, and that is so powerful. But I just don't see an opportunity like this where we get to just give very often, and I love it. I absolutely thrive on giving, and I want you to catch some of that, all right? So, yeah, we're here to bless our ministry partners, but I have an ulterior motive here, and that is that you in Life Church become absolutely fanatical givers, that you have such generosity that it is sacrificial, that it is just, it goes above and beyond, and that is the mark of us, all right? As a church, as individuals, we're giving to one another, we're giving to the neighborhood, we're giving to the community, we're giving around the world, all right? And so we want to do that very tangibly today. So those coming today, we're going to call them up. I've asked them to just come up and just tell you who they are so you can get a face to go with each of these areas of ministry that we're supporting in some way. Just tell you a little snippet of what they do, and then we're going to call the next person up, and I'm going to ask them to just stay up here, and we're going to form a line, and then when they're all up here together, we're going to look at them, okay? And then after we look at them real good, then we're going to bless them, all right? And we're just going to pray over them and bless them, all right? So it's going to be just a great, great time together. And I'm really excited to start off with a prayer ministry that we support and that supports us as well. And David and I go over and we have a couple of pastors and prayer leaders every Tuesday morning for an hour. They just pray over us. We just go and we just have them pray for us because we have declared that we really need prayer. And so we appreciate these guys so much at the Underground House of Prayer. And I'm going to have Jeff, if you would come and introduce yourself and just quickly tell what all you're about, that would be great.
Great. 20 minutes, you said? Just kidding. Yeah, thank you for giving. I love these guys. It's been so good to get to know them for me the last 3 years. So I'm a director of the Underground House of Prayer. We're just half a mile down the road from you all. And our vision is to go 24/7 with a room this size going night and day with prayer and worship. Not just like a candle and one person kind of sitting quietly. I mean, like, awesome, loud worship, really loud prayer, praying for a revival for the city 24/7. And so right now we're about 40 hours a week, but our goal is to go more and more and more, and that we would be a ministry that does that. And so I just see us as like a catalyst ministry that's going to pray for and help birth other prayer ministries in town. And you guys have prayer on Monday nights. It's like an amazing blessing. I think it's probably one of the longest standing prayer meetings in town. So that's what we do. And we have three reasons for what we do. Number one, we want to be a place where people can encounter Jesus. So we have people of all ages come into our prayer room, and they get to experience God's presence because we're cultivating his presence hours and hours a week. And number two, because Jesus is worthy. I just love that he's got angels in heaven, and the only thing that they do is worship him and look at him night and day. And so those are two awesome reasons. The third reason is revival. And one of my prayers is that we would see, through the prayers of the ministries in this city, that we would see 10,000 people saved a week. That's where I think it's going. I think when God releases this full measure of power in Sioux Falls because of the prayers and fastings of the ministries in the city, and we're one of them, that we're going to see 10,000 people saved week after week after week for some months in a row. And it's going to be this radical shift in our city. I mean, CEOs that hate Jesus and one day radical lovers of Jesus. People that are abusing their spouses or their kids or their drunks or drug addicts, just radically saved. I mean, think of 10,000 people getting radically saved in Sioux Falls in 1 week and that being it. How would that shift the landscape if they came into this church and whatever? So that's who we are. We're just down the road, and our vision is 24/7 prayer, and so we really appreciate you all giving. And we need it, and we want it, and we just love this partnership. So thank you.
Thank you. Let me give you that, okay? You just stay right up here, okay? We partner with a lot of different ministries. I shouldn't say a lot, with several different ministries that we are very relational with. But also, there are ministries that contribute to the community and kind of have the same DNA as us. They're really trying to be helpful and reach out and encourage and build up in any way that they can and meet tangible needs. And one of those that I think does just an absolutely remarkable job is the Faith Temple Food Giveaway, which is also right here kind of in our neighborhood. And I'm gonna have Josh come up in just a moment, but I think we have just a little video for you to look at real quick to just tell you what it's kind of about. Okay, Josh, come on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for allowing me to be here today. So the Faith Temple Food Giveaway started in 2009 in the Faith Temple Church parking lot on the corner of 33rd and Western. The first week, we had 69 people come, and we gave out 3,000 pounds of food. Fast forward to today, almost 9 years later, we've been able to feed over 800,000 people in the Sioux Falls area, with almost 9 million pounds of food. Each week, we feed about 1,500 people, and from those 1,500 people, they go out into their communities, neighborhoods, and families to feed others. We don't strive only to give physical needs or physical support, but we also want to provide spiritual support as well. We've had people come to the food giveaways who are burdened, who need prayer, and we will sit down with them and pray with them, not only meeting that physical need, but also that spiritual need as well. So we meet every Friday at the Nordstrom Johnson Building on the campus of the W.H. Lyon Fairgrounds. So we welcome you to come, and we thank you so much for your partnership.
Thank you, Josh. All right, Pastor, come.
So the next two, ministries, I was trying to come up with something fun to do because these two ministries were not able to be here today at the last minute. And so Pastor Bill said, I need to do something to make it more interesting because it's just me. So here I am to represent both Primary and Destiny Medical Clinic, both ministries that we work very closely with. First of all, let's talk about Primary. Many of you who were able to go to the retreat in October got to see what Primary does pretty up close and personal. But for the rest of you, let me just talk a minute about them. Primary exists to partner with local churches and other ministries to ignite a disciple-making movement in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what really they do. So they equip, they coach, they train people to make disciples. Our mission statement on the wall is we glorify Jesus Christ by making disciples in our neighborhood and beyond. So that's a pretty important part of what we do. Like, if we don't do that, we shouldn't exist. That's what we do. We are here to glorify Jesus by making disciples. And so Primary has come alongside of us and said, hey, let us help you, coach you, give you some tools. But most of all, they're here to give us accountability. It's not just a one-off and we're done with Primary. They don't just come in and say, here's our little platform, here's our program, here's some tools, and then just leave us. They say, we're going to come alongside you, coach you, encourage you, equip you, train you. But then we're also going to stay in your life as people in your life that love you guys and are looking after Life Church. They are going to make sure that we're faithful to the mission that God has called us to. And as pastors, nothing speaks more highly to a ministry than someone that says, we're not just going to come in for a one-time thing, but we want to walk with you guys. We want to be in relationship with you, and we want to help you accomplish the very thing that God has set you forward to do. So can't say enough good about Primary. We have blessed them before, just as they worked with us. We gave them a blessing. We're also going to add them to our ministry partners. Now, Destiny Family Medical Clinic. I first got to know Dr. Brian Kidman when I was a sophomore in college and actually went on my first missions trip with Dr. Kidman. And this guy's a wild man. He loves to use medical missions as a drawing card for the gospel. So we went down to the southern tip of Mexico, and I just saw in him a man that was really full of the Holy Spirit, really trusted the Lord. And I got to know him really well on the trip, but as I came back, I started to try to pick his brain about, you're a doctor, so why is your life so much different? I mean, at the time, he was saying, here's what I'm trying to do, Dave. I'm trying to launch a clinic that's going to be able to serve the underprivileged in Sioux Falls, the people that can't always afford medical care, and I'm going to work one 24-hour shift a week in the ER up in Brookings to support my family. That's what he did. That's how he launched Destiny Family Medical Clinic, and now they have a thriving ministry that not only seeks to meet people's physical needs, much like what you were saying, Josh, but meeting their spiritual needs as well. So if you go into Destiny, you will get not only a flu shot, but you get prayed for. They're going to examine you, take care of your physical needs, but they're going to pray over you and ask the Lord to bless you and ask him to deal with maybe some of the spiritual difficulties and emotional difficulties that you're struggling with. And so we just so appreciate them. We've sent many people in the community who have come to us in physical need with some sort of ailment to Destiny, and they've served them well. And so we just like to every year say, hey, what can we buy for you? Is there a machine that you're in need of? Is there some way we can fund you or provide something that can make your clinic run more efficiently? And so that's what we're doing again this year, and just so thankful for their partnership.
Okay. I love these next two, and I'm excited to get to introduce them to you. The first one is Young Life. So, Andrew, would you please come up here? Okay, I'm going to start crying now, okay? It's getting there. I've been trying so far not to. But I didn't know anything about Young Life at all, like nothing. And I didn't even realize it was in this city. And then all of a sudden, people in my church started to be a part of Young Life, and a lot of them, and predominantly Andrew, who is the director for Young Life on this side of South Dakota. But there are others in the church as well. And so he got me involved. You know, he pulled me into it. And once I got into it, I fell in love with it. And I couldn't believe all that they do and their heart for children and for young adults, for single moms, for just broken families. And so I have loved this partnership with him, so much so that I volunteered to be their chair director for Young Life. And so we are working even closer together with that. So I'm going to let Andrew tell you what Young Life is, all right?
So Young Life is a high school outreach ministry. Our hope and mission is to introduce all adolescents to Jesus Christ and to help them grow in their faith. And at its simplest, most basic, that is done through incarnational relationship. In the midst of everything going on in the world and in life, and just in high schoolers' like daily life, all the things calling at them, pulling at them, saying, come do this, be this, do that. We get the opportunity to instead go to adolescents and build relationships and walk alongside them through the joys of growing up, of high school, of making decisions, but also through the hardness and challenges that are in that as well, through broken homes, through tough histories, through really figuring out who they are as people, and getting the opportunity to in words and actions and in consistent presence. Help them to be known. Help them to know that they are a child of God, and that they're valuable, and that they get the opportunity then to consider, without all the other stuff around them, to consider who Jesus is, and what he has to say for their life, and so we. We so appreciate Life Church in so many different ways, and there are so many of you who have been involved in it in one way or another, whether it's been through prayer, whether it's been financially, whether it's even been as leaders, Chris and I on staff, but just looking out here, there's well over a handful of you who haven't just. Been there, but have been in the work that the Lord is doing in and through Young Life, and so just thank you for that, and are so blessed to continue to go about this good kingdom work together.
Thank you, Andrew. Another ministry, and I'm using that term carefully here, but another ministry that we have. Been blessed to be doing work with this last year is actually one of our elementary schools here in Sioux Falls. Again, I can't do this without feeling it. And every time I walk down the streets of this city, I see immigrant families and I see children, and I'm wondering, where are they? Who's taking care of them? How do they get helped? Because I don't know all these things, and yet I know that there is need. It's evident. It's obvious visually to see need. And then we got to, I told David, we got to do something, and we got to find a school in the neighborhood. And, of course, David and Jenny had adopted their daughter from Ghana, and she got into the immersion center, and we made a relationship through that. And out of all of that, I got to meet a very delightful lady, and her name is Jane. All right, and so Jane Hanneman, would you come up and would you just talk a minute about the school and even what you do there and maybe whatever you want to say?
All right. Well, my name is Jane Hanneman, and I am honored to serve as the principal at Jane Addams School, which is actually two schools, All City Elementary and the Elementary Immersion Center. And the students at our Immersion Center come to us because they are in their first year in the country and they speak little or no English. And so we have currently approximately 125 students in our school coming from over 20 different countries, speaking over 20 different languages. And they come to us both as refugee status, those families who are being forced out of their country, they can't return because of turmoil going on, most of them living in refugee camps prior to coming to us, and then immigrant students as well, who may be coming over because parents are seeking a new job, or maybe they're coming to see family, or for a number of different reasons. And so regardless of the reason why they are coming or why they are here, our staff is highly trained to teach English, but more so to support, to encourage them, to let them know that this is a safe place for them to be. We want to help them understand American education, but we are helping them every day to acculturate. There's no single story when it comes to any of our students, and so we are there to love them, to show them that they have support, and that we're a part of a community who truly will support them. And when your pastors came last December, I believe, I called all of our staff together. The pastors were able to come on out. And I can't even tell you what happened because I'll get choked up right now. But because of your congregation, you were able to bless our staff in a way they've never experienced before. And one thing I would tell you about our teachers is they are very passionate about the population that they're serving. And they're very skilled at doing it. But to have someone in the community honor that in a special way really meant a lot to us. So wasn't going to do this, but then you all started it up here. And so I just want to say thank you to your pastors, to this congregation, for what you have done for our school community.
Thank you, Jane. If you want to stand with them. She doesn't get an envelope because she and all of her staff get envelopes in a few days, okay? So we'll be going again over to the school, and we'll be blessing them again just as we did last year. That'll be just a really, really sweet time. Okay, Pastor.
Sorry, you get me again for this one. We will get someone else up here eventually. The community outreach. The community outreach is a partnership I'm really passionate about because it helps us to be faithful in the area of benevolent giving. And anybody who's ever been a part of maybe a church council or a church board, you know that one of the things that we are called to as Christians to be involved in is giving to the needy, giving to needs that arise in our congregations, but also in the community. And sometimes those are very complicated issues, super complex, dealing with lots of addiction, lots of brokenness, lots of issues that just walk right in the door. And on any given week, we could have two or three of those. And what the community outreach has been established for, it was established a long time ago by several groups of churches in town. It was established to handle those financial needs so that the church gives to them, and then they sit down with people, counsel them, coach them, kind of work through their budgets with them, figure out what is exactly the need and how do they help them long term. So it's not just putting a Band-Aid on something if it's a gushing wound. They kind of figure out, like, what can we help you do that's going to make you sustainable? And then we can give in a really potent, powerful way to them through the community outreach. It also helps the church so that people don't come here knowing that they can get some cash, because we do all of our giving through the community outreach. So if you have a benevolent need in Life Church, that's great. We love to hear those. You'll come to me, and oftentimes I'll say, okay, the first thing we do is we send you down to have an appointment at the community outreach. And then they'll kind of interview you and go through that process. And if they say, hey, this is what the need is, then Life Church meets that need. And we do that for people inside the church and also in just in the community, people who we don't know at all, never met. We meet their needs through that process. So it really helps us to be efficient with our funds, helps us to be wise stewards of our funds, and helps us to give confidently to those things that the Lord has really put in front of us, oftentimes just at a moment's notice. So super passionate about the community outreach and excited that we get to partner with them again this year. And finally, at long last, I get to bring up Kara DeHaan to talk about Caitlin's fund, and so excited to have Kara come.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, friends. My name is Kara DeHaan, and I get to represent Caitlin's Fund for you this morning. It's my husband's phone. It's way harder than mine. I just want to read for you from Proverbs 31:8, because that is where our vision comes from. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. So our vision at Caitlin's Fund is to speak up for children who don't yet have a voice, either because of the circumstances they've been born into, whether it's the country or the family. And we do this in three different ways. One is we are a big promoter of adoption. We believe that God desires greatly for all children to be loved in a safe family. So we provide adopted grants for families who are going through that process. In addition to that, a lot comes along with making the decision about whether to do foster care or become a safe family or an adoptive family. So we have support groups that meet monthly here in Sioux Falls, which provide a beautiful community. We've grown so much from being a part of those and getting to know others who are traveling that road. And then finally, there always exists a population that will not be able to be adopted. We've partnered with One Vision Haiti, and we have a sponsorship for program for children down there. Some kids are born into families where the parents, maybe they're a single orphan, so one parent is still alive, and they're in and out of their life based on what they're able to do at the time. Those kids fall through the cracks because they aren't paper ready for adoption, nor do we want to take them away from the family that still desires to love and care for them. So we're there to walk alongside of what looks like kind of a messy process, but we're the safety net that stands there, hopefully preventing them from getting into lifestyles, habits that are necessary for them to stay alive. So that is Caitlin's Fund. We have a prayer team that meets monthly to pray for families in these different situations. It's a powerful ministry, and I've grown so much from being a part of it. And I'm just so thankful for Life Church and the fact that you are willing to highlight and just to care so much about people we might not see every day. But the Lord can connect you very quickly too, anyway. So thank you.
And I wanted Kara to share first because I didn't want to say some things that she had planned to say, but our testimony with Caitlin's Fund is that they were the most meaningful adoption grant that we encountered in the process. They, you know, sometimes they'll have you be interviewed for this adoption grant process, and we went down to Sioux Center thinking, well, I wonder what we're going to discover. And what we found was just a group of people filled with the Holy Spirit who just prayed over us for like an hour. And we went away from there thinking, yeah, we got some money for our adoption, but we feel like we got something way more than that. We feel like that the prayers that they prayed over us just meant the world to us. And so so much of what they do is just led by the Holy Spirit, just really thankful for them. And we've been so blessed by the friendships that we've gotten through adoption. We'll often say that adoption has so many blessings for us, but one of the most unique and significant blessings is we got so many different friendships out of adoption. Several of them are sitting here today, and it's just been a really cool thing that the Lord has done. So thank you for what you do. And Pastor Bill?
Did you give her money?
Oh, I forgot the money. Thank you.
All right. We're coming down here. This ministry, I have loved because I love the two people that have oversight of this ministry. And so, Seth, if you would just come up. This is Shift 115, I'm going to let you just share a little bit. I so admire Seth because I have absolutely no musical ability, skill, gift, or anything. I mean, no one would ever want me to sing or try to play an instrument in this church, but Seth loves me unconditionally, and that is just so great, and that's just the way this family rolls here. They have such love for so many people, and they just enjoy helping people to grow and to develop their skills, and they do that because they are are true worshipers. And I have such great admiration for their ministry. Would you just please explain to everyone what Shift 115 is, please?
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, our heart is for worship is that we're all worshipers. And that's what part of, really a big part of what we do is working with churches and the community is learning and unlearning what we know about worship. And for one, it's that we are all worshipers, that worship is something that's always happening. And so our mission statement is to build unity in the church through Christ-centered worship. And that's on the screen right under our logo, building unity in the church. And that's our heart. And that's really one of the ways that we connected to Life Church a few years ago and connected with Bill. And he's shared, he's been able to preach at a couple of our events. And Life Church has hosted a couple different events, community worship, a network shop, equipping events, and then the last Kingdom Kids Worship Camp this summer. And so with our mission to build unity in the church, we have what we call a threefold approach to help guide us in what we do in encouraging and equipping, and that's heart, head, and hands, and that's examining and strengthening our heart through prayer, worship, and spiritual formation, and sharpening our head through biblical and technical teaching, and then strengthening and equipping our hands in practical training and application. And so on the screen, you see the three of the main things that we do: community worship. You can't really read it very well, but community worship, equipping events, and retreats. Those are kind of the three big events and things that we've done to gather the church over the last few years. We started in 2011 and have kind of grown from there, adding different types of events. And so those are kind of the main things we do. We also launched a worship school this fall, and we meet at the seminary. It's a 9-month process. We meet weekly. Alicia is one of our students, and so we get to meet with her weekly. And then mentorship is really a big part of what we have done. And even over the years, that's really how we kind of got our start in what we were doing, is just really mentoring. We meet with a lot of people, worship leaders and worship team members and churches and pastors, doing mentoring and working with pastors, leaders, lay leaders, anybody involved or in local churches and worship teams and that type of thing. And so we just love we love being able to work with Life Church too, and are so thankful for the partnership with you guys and being able to work with churches in the community. And so thank you guys for your partnership and relationship in this too.
All right, these people represent local ministries, ministries that are right here in Sioux Falls and that we're able to connect with and love on and care about, so we're greatly appreciative of that. We have a far-reaching effect, not just here locally, but we give to some other ministries that are international, and David and I would like to highlight four of those for you this morning so that you can see that not only is it what we're doing in our neighborhood and our community, but there is a beyond. There's a place out there where we want to touch other people. One of those ministries that I would like to highlight for you is Gateway Brazil. This is a ministry that we got involved with many years ago, taking teams from Sioux Falls, from Life Church, to Brazil, doing outreach ministry and evangelism in the schools, in the major cities, also working in the favelas, the slum areas of the major cities around. We got to support churches and encourage churches and build them up as well. So there was a lot of different activities that we got involved in. As Gateway progressed, it refined itself and is now primarily an equipping ministry that equips college-age students and young adults to be able to go on the mission field both part-time, midterm, and long-term. In other words, they are now seeing the value of sending Brazilians to other parts of the world, and they are raising up young men and women who have a great passion to go, but also a great determination to see God move in other communities around the world. And they're doing this very sacrificially. And so we've gotten to be a part of these kinds of events, these conferences and workshops that they put on. And I've been privileged to teach and work with not only the leadership, but also speak at the various conferences over the last 2 or 3 years. We moved even further into relationship with them by also hosting a family to come here for a month and live among us. And we have two other families that are just waiting for us to give them the word to say that they can come. And they come here and spend a month with us and learn to speak English better. To improve their English, but also to just experience the culture and to enjoy Life Church. The people in several major cities in Brazil know about Life Church, and they are eager to come and experience life here with us. So that is Gateway Brazil. Another ministry that we have been supporting on a regular basis now and that we're very thrilled to be able to work with is the Schneider family. Dave and Rebecca Schneider and their children are stationed in. All right, they have given themselves to ministry there for a number of years, and they continue to work there. And we just received a report from them. Many of you maybe received that report as well. And then following that, I got a prayer request from David, and he was just sharing how much that they are renewing their emphasis on prayer, and they're asking us to join them and pray with them, that there are power encounters that are happening all over the region where they are doing ministry, because these power encounters are very, very valuable in turning people's hearts to Jesus. And so we want to continue to support them, but I'm asking you that you would be committed to praying for them and supporting them in prayer as well. Okay, so those are two international ministries, and David's going to share the last two with you as well.
Okay, the last two are also near and dear. All of these are near and dear to our hearts, as you can tell. Kinder Paradise is an orphanage that we have partnered with. And as Kara said, sometimes it's not possible for children to be adopted. But they need support and care in their context. And my wife and I, we adopted from Ghana a little over 2 years ago. And just, I think, through the Lord's leading, it couldn't have been anything but the Lord's leading, we came across this orphanage because we were there in Ghana, and this is where our daughter was, and got to know the background of it. That doesn't always happen, but through the experiences that we went through in Ghana, we got to know them very well and actually stayed at the orphanage. It was founded by a Christian German lady named Silke, and soon after, one of her good friends, Heike, joined her, who is a doctor. And so they have built an incredible ministry there to orphans and vulnerable children. Not all of them are double orphans. Some of them have one parent. Some of them have an aunt or an uncle they go to part of the year. But all of them have significant needs for food, shelter, and education. And the mission statement of Kinder Paradise is to educate and build children that can be successful in the world for Jesus Christ. So they are a very distinctly Christian ministry that takes these kids who may be on the streets or maybe in just very difficult home lives or situations and brings them in and educates them, feeds them, and provides their basic needs. So we're a part of that and blessing them. And the things, the gifts, the money that we give goes a long way at Kinder Paradise. Finally, World Vision. Let's bring up the picture of our three children that we sponsor. So many of you sponsor a World Vision kid, or maybe you have a Compassion International child, whatever. There's a lot of great ways you can sponsor a child in a third world or developing country. We have three sponsorships, and if you've been a part of Life Church, in 2012, we did a massive water project in Swaziland, and this is kind of our community. We got in touch with World Vision after reading Rich Stern's book, The Hole in Our Gospel, and we said, we want to do something in developing countries. We don't know what we're going to do, but we would love to be connected to a specific location and a specific group of people. And they connected us to a community called Mapalajeni in Swaziland, which is the last known kingdom on earth. They have an absolute monarchy. So it's really an interesting place, but the people live in abject poverty. The king lives in lavish wealth. It's everything you read about in the scriptures. Right? When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When you have a wicked king, the people suffer. And that's the case in Swaziland. But what we were able to do in this community is we were able to go in, and 45 miles from this, or 45 kilometers from this community, they just did a state-of-the-art water project to bring water into one of the major cities. This is a rural community, though. So it'd be like Sioux Falls has great water, but Harrisburg, Baltic, they have no water. Or maybe even farther out than that. It'd be more like Lenox or Del Rapids or something like that. And they don't have any transportation either, so these people are walking for sometimes 6 hours a day to get clean water. Or oftentimes it's not clean water, it's water that they share with animals. And so what we did is we piped in water from this new water project that they did in the major city. We brought it right into the community and piped it into the backyards of all these homes. And so now over 5,000 people have clean water thanks to what you all did back in 2012, including our three sponsor kids. And so we still provide for them. Their school needs just this sponsorship, but the big thing was that we got connected, our hearts got connected, and we gave, and the Lord through that provided water for generations of people. So thank you for what you did, Life Church. It just means a lot to Nampilo, Sumangale, and Otando, but also to their whole community. I think that's it.
Thanks, David. Okay, some of you sitting here in Life Church, you're going, how do we do that? How do we do all of that? We're a really small group of people, and there's not a lot of people sitting around here. Well, here's the answer. We have a really big God. A really big God, and we're not afraid to let him be big and do big things, all right? And so I just want to encourage you that we not even, like, plateau here, but that we just continue to believe. After today, we're going to have given out probably, well, more than $10,000 today, maybe $11,000. I don't even know what all we're giving exactly, but we're giving it, okay? And we're doing that because we believe that we've been blessed. We're convinced that we've been blessed, and the purpose of being blessed is to be a blessing. So we've been given, and now we give, and that is the heart of God. That is the heart of our Father. And so as we close out today, I just want to bless these individuals standing here because they represent others as well, and pray over them. And some of you, you have spouses that I know stand with you, stand behind you, support you in an unbelievable way. And if you're a spouse of one of these people today, I'd love for you to come up here and stand with them right now if you would. That would be really great. I didn't want to put you on the spot the whole time, but if you're comfortable doing that, come up here and stand with them, all right? Just be with them for just a few minutes here so we can see the whole of this team. Josh, I'm sorry, Josh is getting married on Saturday, so next year you'll have someone up here. Britt, you want to come up with Andrew? Come on and stand with Andrew. You're practically married, okay? My gracious. And we love Britt, and she is a huge supporter of everything that Andrew is doing and has been so great in Life Church as well. But look at this. These are people who are making a difference, and they're having an impact, and they're doing it in the name of Jesus. And not all of them can proclaim it that way, that openly, but they're doing it. And so we want to stand behind them and support them. So would you stand, all of you who are here today who can comfortably do that, just stand right now. Maybe you're comfortable, like, sort of reaching your hand towards them just as an act of support, you know, a message to them that you're with them, all right? You stand with them in solidarity. Let me read you a scripture, and then I just want to pray over you today, and then we'll all be done, okay? Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just agree in the name of Jesus that your perfect and pleasing will be established in the hearts of your servants who stand before you today. We declare, Father, that by faith you will meet and supply every need that they have, that you will be a generous and provisional God for everything that they have need of in their personal lives, in their public lives, in their ministries, in their professions. We pray, God, that you would protect them and shield them from every snare of the evil one. We ask you, God, that you would keep them strong and full of your spirit and full of your power. We ask you, God, that you would give them physical blessings in their bodies, Lord, that they would be nourished, that they would be taken care of daily, Lord, and that you would heal their infirmities, God, that you would strengthen them when they are weak, Father, that you would encourage them, Lord, when they are down, that you would give them confidence and boldness when fear would want to creep in. We pray, God, that they would not look back on anything, but that they would look forward, Lord, and they would keep their eyes on you. We pray, God, that they would run this race with such perseverance and such diligence, God, that they would finish strong and well. We ask you, God, that they will be able to keep their eyes upon you, Lord. We pray that they will never throw away their confidence, but rather they would look to you, God, for everything that they have need of. We ask you, God, that you would do amazing and wonderful, miraculous things in their lives that would mark them for the kingdom of God. We pray, Father, that their voice, Lord, would be free to speak out. We pray, Lord, that you would open doors of opportunity for them. We ask you, God, that you give them continuous education and equipping, Lord, and mentoring and support in whatever way they need, Father. We pray, God, that above all, they would not grow weary in doing well, but in due season, each and every one of them in their special way would reap a harvest for the kingdom of God. And we pray that ultimately their lives would give you glory and honor and praise from this day forward. Lord, help us as a church that we will faithfully remember them in prayer, that as you bring them to our minds, that we will call them out, Lord, to you and pray and intercede on their behalf. I pray, Father, that we will continue as we are being given, that we will give to these individuals and their ministries, God, that we would support them financially, Lord, that we would support them emotionally, Lord, that we would support them spiritually, Lord, in every way possible for the glory of your kingdom. God, do all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church says, amen. Amen. Thank you all for your work that you do. We love and appreciate every single one of you. God bless you. There are going to be prayer team members who are going to be at the front of the church. These individuals are going to make their way back to their chairs or out the door. If you would like to catch them and ask them questions, you can do that. All right? If you have a check that you want to give still, they can direct it to their ministry, or you can continue to give them to Life Church in the Sundays ahead, and we will continue to make sure that all of those funds go into the particular work as you specify, okay? So if you need prayer today, the prayer team is coming. The rest of you, you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great day. Be generous to someone today.